This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 40 of the KMP Show. I am your host, Jonathan Playtech, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Kreitch. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
The Big 4-0. Our podcast is having a midlife crisis right now.
It just bought a Mustang.
Right. It's eyeing up its daughter's friends. Like,
yeah, like tanning more than it really should.
Right. Going to the Dominican Republic to get some steroids, huh?
Yeah,
Pump it up.
Yeah.
Got to get that beach bod going.
Yeah, considering if you're penis enlargement surgery for sure.
Right, researching it on the internet, like wondering, like, yeah, I know the most of those
too.
Ads.
It's not a happy 40. It's definitely a divorced 40 for sure. Or about
in the
to be.
Bottle, hammered. Like,
yeah, well, are we a divorce 40 or like an approaching, like quickly approaching?
Oh, this show is divorced.
Or are we just in like a really untenable relationship and like any minute now? We're going to get a divorce and both parties know it's going to be a divorce. But are we full on? That ship has sailed.
It's done. We are like
right.
living
so
the dream.
We pick up our daughter every weekend and just feed her ice cream and tell her how much cooler you are than mom and stuff like that. That's definitely what
But
we
then
do.
Be like, so what's mommy doing? Mommy have any friends coming yeah. over to the
How's,
house saying hello?
The Tony guys. The Tony guys still hanging around?
Yeah.
He buy you stuff too or what?
Yeah, I got the studio apartment, but we pretend it's a bachelor pad. Like it's like a really cool, like, yeah.
Like, got track lighting everywhere. Yeah.
It's 750 square feet of sad, brother. I mean hanging up the beer bottles like in college. Like
Goodfellas
back to the glory
poster.
Days.
Yeah, Goodfellas poster, no doubt. Goodfellas or Scarface.
Yeah.
One or the other.
You gotta have that action movie poster, Boondock Saints, and then even though you never
maybe
really
Shaun of the Dead, if you're like a funny guy, like you think you're kind of
right.
funny, you put a Shaun of the Dead up there.
You think it's hilarious, and then those two girls making out.
Oh yeah,
you know that one.
Yes, yes, two hot girls making out, and then there's some beer. I don't know. I forgot who that's from, but yeah, it's got to be like a Corona or Bud Light or
right.
Miller Lite.
And then the obligatory John Belushi college. Where he's making that face, college. Whoa!
I was gonna ask. The only other thing I would maybe add is the you borrowed like. Or you took it from, so there's a bar in the area, and they have, like, one of those, like, generic, like, Chicago football team schedules sponsored by a beer company, and then you took that.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like 2 years out of date. It's, like, the 2015, like, Chicago football team. They can't say Bears, they can't say nope. NFL, they can't say any other teams or whatever.
It's an off color. Like, it's, like, off blue and orange, like, you're not
right?
really.
It's just, like, this stock photo of a guy diving for a ball, and it's, like, Chicago football team. 2015 schedule, and you got that hung up. It's,
brought to you by Mike Winokur, your local real estate dealer.
Right, yeah, and it's like
tons
it's like kind
of
leathery. I don't even know the like kind of like a vinyl type material. Yeah, and you got that hung up.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's where
that's pretty. That sounds like a pretty good life. I think I'm gonna actually go for that.
Yeah, it does, right? You know, just get on out of there. Just get yourself a studio apartment, like an old town, like a refurb, like book factory or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's cool. Yeah, it's got to stay.
It's like, wow, well, exposed brick. So it looks pretty cool, man. It's rustic. That's where I go. You got a leather jacket, you know? But you're working out hard. Working out real hard.
You still got to find the ladies that are still available.
Yeah, and you know, you're like, hey, go ahead. You instantly become the cool parent where it's like,
right.
come on, bring your friends over. Have fun. Let's have a party. This is great.
But
I'm going
to
allow
do
you
to do online dating, even though everybody's like, dude, you should probably just do online dating. You're like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm going to go out. I'm going to work it. I'm going
right,
to find somebody.
Still going to clubs. It's like, dude, go online. Like, it's very easy to find people that are your age online. No. I got too much pride. For no reason, I have way too much pride. Our show at
no, it doesn't let me work my game as much as going out to the bar does.
I don't get the same charm. How are they going to see the Mustang unless I'm at the bar?
Right, and you know what all those guys say too, and it's like, dude, just try online dating. Like, nah, bro, you know what I like? I like the chase.
Yeah, the chase.
It's like you've been chasing your own tail for 40 years. It's,
yeah, you might
it, obviously
yeah.
you're not catching up, so maybe you should enter a different race there, buddy. We got a lot to talk about today. We got to do a judge's chamber. It's going to be an abbreviated KMP show. We're going to do a judge's chamber, and we're going to talk about the Dodgers. We're going to talk about Doug Gottlieb and saying dumb things about Adrian Beltre. Despite, it's weird, because the Gottlieb thing is like a dumb thought wrapped in a good thought. Or no, sorry. It's a good thought wrapped in a dumb thought.
Yes, yeah. I think we haven't talked about this, but I think you and I may have similar ideas here. Just knowing what you know.
Who knew?
What you think. I know, yes. Who knew that these people that hang out and talk about sports for half their lives would have some more thoughts about things. But no, I think I think it's a good and yeah, that's exactly my takeaway as well. So I'm interested to see how you took it, see if you had the same idea that I have as far as Gottlieb. Because I do think he's saying something that might not be awful, but then he made it really awful by being awful. So we'll get to that here.
Right. He had a morsel of truth, a morsel of not crazy, and then he just splattered on the crazy. Right. Like way too much mustard on a hot dog or something. It's just like, yeah, all right, because I got to be, you know, sports guy, sports talk guy. But first, we have a premiere. Rich has yet to hear it.
Oh.
Those that may have heard, Rich, I made an executive decision. I put Judge's Chamber on loan to the Call to the Pen podcast for 1 week.
And let people know about that as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a little biweekly podcast I do for Call to the Pen. Go to calltothepen.com. You should be able to search podcast or search Call to the Pen podcast wherever you get your podcast. It's a biweekly or no. Biweekly means both. It could mean both, right? Like twice a week and.
You know, I've actually went my entire life being completely confused by that. Because I was actually going to tweet out earlier, like promoting your show, being like, listen to John's voices biweekly. And I was like, ooh, I don't think it's biweekly. I don't know what biweekly is. And then I just didn't make a tweet, I think.
So. I think it can mean the same things. Like it's one of those things where we have a word for everything except that, which would make everybody's life a lot easier. But for whatever reason, they don't. So,
oh, you were correct. Okay, I looked it up. I was so appearing or taking place every 2 weeks or twice a week, which is incredibly
that's
confusing.
That's so confusing.
Right, pick a different word. We have so many words. We have an endless, literally an infinite amount of word options here. We
right.
can come up with something.
Now,
that could be
right.
twice a week.
For some things, it's not, you know, like a biweekly paycheck. You're not expecting to get paid twice a week.
You know, I'm going to start actually expecting that now. I'm gonna ask.
You're gonna show up in your boss's office, like,
yeah, I'd be like, contract says biweekly, chief, and I'm only getting this thing once every 2 weeks. Like, yeah, that's what biweekly. I'm like, nope. Also means this.
It could mean this, but it makes
like,
things.
You just want more small checks? I was like, no, actually, no.
Right. Or it's like, do you want bi-week? Like if you go see like a therapist or like a physical therapist or something and it's like, okay, we'll see you bi-weekly. Wait, how fucked up am I that do I need to go every other week or do I need to go twice a week?
Just not straight with me, doc.
Seriously, just stop playing word games. Okay. Now I don't even trust you anymore. You can go to calltothepen.com. Just search podcast and check it out there. Follow me on Twitter at John's Voices. You can follow the show at KANDP Show. You can follow Rich and all his wrestling stuff at Voices Wrestling. I saw John Cena get dropped on his head by that.
Yes.
That import guy, but he's really upstanding about it. He's really cool. He was it, right? He's from
I'm not
Japan.
Gonna call
isn't
Shinsuke
he?
Nakamura the import guy. I actually, that's a great nickname.
I didn't know his name.
No, that's
I didn't
fine. No, I like import guy is a much better nickname anyway. Like, don't let Vince McMahon hear that because he's like, oh god damn, that's great.
He's that's
Japanese
his
import. He's like Sony or Magnavox. What are you talking about?
But he's this upstanding guy about it. He's like, no, don't be sorry. That's cool.
Yeah, he's like, it's all good.
All right. If it was Randy Orton though, that would have been a fight in the ring.
Oh my god, yeah, Randy Orton. If you just tap him on the shoulder wrong, he's.
He's really upset because wrestling is pure. I was going to say brother.
That's a good game. Good man. So.
All right. So Judges Chambers, it's a little segment we do every week where we review the performance of our show hero.
We might have to stop doing this. I think we killed him.
No, I did. You know, you might be surprised. But here we go. Judges Chambers.
Pitch to Judge is hammered into left field, hooking fair ball home run. Aaron Judge just kept it fair for his major league leading 19th of the season.
High drive, right field, going back, Bautista looking up, see ya, into the second deck the other way.
It's time for Judge's Chamber. Since we last did a show.
Bravo, by the way.
No, thank you. Yeah, that was a couple cups of coffee one morning, having to find all those. Well, it's only three clips, let's be honest. But yeah, I was, somebody already had that idea because I searched Aaron Judge Law and Order, and on Streamable, There's somebody that came up. They redid, like, they found some stock footage that Judge did where, you know, where he's like raising a bat in front of like a, you know, like a drop cloth or whatever, where they do those, like, I don't even know what they're called, to like insert as they're going to break, like, Aaron Judge coming up, and you see him like in his uniform bringing up the bat, looking at the camera like, yeah. And they took those and put like a red and blue motif over it and put it in black and white, and they did the Law and Order video intro with Aaron Judge highlights. So it wasn't an original idea, but I divined it independently, or I arrived at
and
it.
We'll make it better because we are better than
exactly
that random dude.
Right. That's how we like to do things. Since our last show on July 19th, we last did a podcast and we did a Judge's Chamber. We realized, yeah, he's struggling, but you know, this happens in baseball, and sometimes you have a stretch of 40, 50 or so plate appearances where the ball just doesn't bounce your way. You don't get the pitches you like. You don't get the calls you like, whatever. And you will have a couple week long stretch where things are kind of bad for you. Well, it appears as though those struggling times have continued, although they weren't as bad, as objectively bad, as post All-Star break. Because remember, post All-Star break, it was like 48 batting average with a 100 OBP and a 48 slugging. Aaron Judge's line since our last show, he's had 12 games, gotten 49 plate appearances, and hit 4 home runs, and that's a pace for 50 home runs over 150 games, by the way. He has a batting line of 184, 347, 500. So is that not bad? I mean, Rich, if you get that coming out of a slump, right? I mean, the batting average, I know batting average sucks, but I'd like it to be a little bit better than 184. But given a batting average of 184, a 34% or almost 35% rate of not making outs is pretty good.
And the slugging, still in the dingers, too. I mean, that's all you're really looking for, is like that his power doesn't just go away, or that he and the walk rate, too. It's not like he's become Chris Carter overnight or whatever, just become one of those guys. The batting average you don't love, but that's one of the more random things that you'll find is batting average fluctuations or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas on base and slugging, if you can keep that consistent, which he kind of has, I mean, obviously it's not the level that he was, you know, his surefire MVP level that he was earlier in the year, but those are solid, consistent numbers. If you chopped off that batting average, you would take this hypothetical player any day.
Right. If I'll give you a guy that that on base is at 35% and slugs 500. You know, that
we'll take him. We'll have him, yes.
Yes, please. And the key is here, you touched on it perfectly, is that it's the power. You want to make sure the power doesn't go away. And he has an ISO rating of 316. And on the season, he has an ISO of 332. So he's right in line. You know, a 20-point drop in ISO isn't really something to just go, oh, that's nothing. But, you know, when you're talking about a 300-plus ISO, I don't think you're really going to notice that much of a difference between 332 and 316. So the power hasn't gone away. He's got a 342 weighted on base average and a 113 weighted runs created plus. You mentioned, obviously, the walk rate, which is right in line with what he's been doing. It's actually better than his norm for this season of 17.1%, but in the last 12 games, he's had a walk rate of 20.4%, a K rate of nearly 39% in the last 12 games, and his strikeout rate for the season is 30%. So he's just being him. He's doing what he's returned to what he is doing. I think we're still just kind of feeling the after effects of that wild fluctuation after the All-Star break, because I have it here, his BABIP is a very, very low 133 over the last 10 games. And I've got some interesting rolling 10-game and 15-game average stuff that paints a more positive, I guess you could call it, positive picture of Aaron Judge, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I think we've calmed down a little bit from that post-All-Star game where it's like, oh, my God, he's terrible now, he's awful. I mean, we never really did that either, but in this exercise where we're just going to kind of splice his year up in these little small doses or whatever, there are going to be issues where we're going to be like, oh my God, he's great. Oh my God, he's good. Oh my God, he's awful. You know, that's what baseball is. I mean, over 12 games of baseball, I mean, that's impossible to know what anybody is after that. So,
Yeah, he's got his rolling 10-game weighted on base average hit its low point of the year after our last show. So you're right. We may have killed Aaron Judge, at least for a little bit there. It got down to 224.
Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. But you're back up to 346, right, for the rolling 10 game. There you go. So his home run to fly ball rate, which I find key. I think that's key for Aaron Judge because I haven't seen anything like what he's been able to do in terms of home run to fly ball rate. His 10-game rolling home run to fly ball rate is still an absurd 30%. When expanded to 20 games, this meaning the 20-game rolling average, you're looking at the last 20 games or the midpoint 20 games, whatever. And aside from the beginning of the season, Judge's rolling home run to fly ball rate has never been below 19%. He's at the low point of his season when you disregard the beginning of the season, obviously, pre-20 games, but 19% is his low point on the season. And I think that speaks volumes about who he is as a hitter and what he's capable of doing just in terms of how he approaches any given plate appearance and his just raw power figures. I think that's an incredibly interesting mark, is that his low point is 19%. Yeah. So that's been – I don't have an outro for Judge's Chamber, so –
Bum, 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 yeah, I don't remember what bum, Law and Order bum, came left with. I don't know. Maybe
there's
a song?
There's a little like a, what is it? I want to say sax. It's probably okay. A sax. It's got like a little like jazz flutter to it. You know, when it's just like bum, 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 and then it just, you know, fades out. So that. Bum,
bum, bum. You can just do it every time, I think. Instead of getting it right, I think you should just bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, yeah, great. There. So that's my hand horn. So we speaking of power, I wanted to ask you about this, Rich.
I thought you were gonna say speaking of hand horns, but that's all right.
Well, yeah.
I wish we had some.
I could go a couple related? Different ways with hand horns. It'd be tough to rough up the suspect if you had horns for hands. Could you imagine that? It's just never mind. I talked about this on the Call to the Pen podcast, but we've got some audio here. And Doug Gottlieb, Rich, have you heard this?
I have heard the whole clip, yes.
You have heard the whole clip.
I have heard the whole thing, yes.
If you don't mind, I'm going to play it for...
I do, so don't.
Okay, well. All right.
Very much mind this. Come on. No, I'm just...
Okay, all right. Doug Gottlieb had some interesting things to say on... He's still CBS Radio, right?
I forgot. I thought he moved. Didn't he?
Is he on Fox CBS? Sports Radio now?
I thought it was Fox Sports for old Dougie, and that's probably that could explain why he's such an idiot.
That's why I don't hear his sports updates, CBS Sports.
Yeah,
anymore.
I think he's done with CBS. He went over to Fox and that can maybe explain some of his
the hot takiness.
Yes, yeah. Mount take, as Deadspin called him today.
That's actually pretty good. All right, I'll give him that one. That's good. But Doug Gottlieb was talking about Adrian Beltre, and you know, we're now in the refractory period of celebrating somebody who's reached the 3,000 hit mark and is undoubtedly surefire Hall of Famer.
I think he is. I think he's a no doubt guy.
No doubt.
Almost offensively, he's
good band, by the
pretty
way.
Close there. But then you add his defense, and you add the histrionics around Adrian Beltre as well, with, you know, the
right.
Becoming, you know, kind of, I mean, he is like one of this generation's, like, I mean, arguably one of this generation's top stars, because he's so giftable, because he's so funny, you know what I mean? Like, there's the head thing. Like, yeah, the people touching his head, how he interacts with Elvis Andrews, like, little stuff like that, I think, is going to go a long way in this generation of how they think about guys or whatever. Like, similar to this guy gave me good quotes in the, you know, the 60s and 70s or whatever, the Adrian Beltre gave us good gifts, like, that could be a thing.
Yeah, so in terms of, just before we get this out of the way, because this dovetails with what Doug Gottlieb was saying. In terms of Black Ink, he's got a 9. The average Hall of Famer is 27. Gray Ink, 98. Average Hall of Famer around 144. Hall of Fame Monitor is 163. That makes him 73rd all time. The likely Hall of Famer is at 100. Hall of Fame Standards batting 53. Average Hall of Famer 50. Now the good stuff, the BWAR. 92.5 career BWAR. I looked earlier, his FWAR was at like 84. Obviously, they differ a little bit. He's got a 49.77 year peak and a 71.1 jaws. The average Hall of Fame third baseman for his career has 67.5 BWAR, 42.8 7-year peak BWAR, and a 55.2 jaws. So yeah, shoe in, put him in there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He'd get my vote. Mm-hmm. You know whose vote he's not getting? I don't even know if he has a vote. Is Mr. Doug Gottlieb? Dougie, take it away, buddy.
Pudge Rodriguez, yes, 13 gold gloves. Yes, a PED guy. Everybody knows it. Was mentioned in Canseco's book and in other stuff. He's never come out and said, no, absolutely, I did not do it. Not that that would matter, because even the guys that tested positive, even the guys that ultimately came clean, they start out by saying, no, I didn't do it.
Deny this for me. Never mind, that won't matter.
Pudge is a steroid guy. Right. And it's really hard to get behind the plate every night unless you get some help. I believe that Mike Piazza was a steroid guy. Hey, but the, and then, you have guys that saw incredible production, like Pudge Rodriguez, until they started testing positive for PEDs. Now, Pudge is also a former Texas Ranger.
Did Pudge ever
and the
test
Rangers
positive?
Have this sordid history of, give me your weak, your tired, your wretched masses of steroid guys.
Considering he just waltzed into the Hall of Fame.
Alex Rodriguez. Jose Canseco.
Alex Rodriguez was good when he went to the...
He was the best player in baseball.
I could go through a laundry list of players and some pitchers who have been linked to PED usage and have played for the Texas Rangers. Yesterday, they celebrate Adrian Beltre's 3,000th hit.
Now, let me go the other way.
And now I am persona non grata. I am the devil as far as current former Texas Rangers and, I had no idea, Texas Rangers baseball fans.
Well, I mean, yeah. Called their best player. Okay.
Yep.
I had no idea. But
he just lost his train of thought
just
there.
Lay this out for you, okay? There's a high percentage of baseball players that have tested positive that are from the Dominican Republic.
So you could have just ended
I'm
that
not making this up.
At, you
this
know,
is
without
not
the,
some
from the Dominican
stereotype
Republic
of Dominican players. If it's a stereotype, it's created based upon the actual statistical data.
Is it a stereotype or not?
Have been suspended.
Which is a stereotype? I don't want a stereotype, but I mean, the stereotype is absolutely true because of
this. Came from the Dominican Republic. One, there's a high density of baseball players
is that,
that
even
come
true,
from the Dominican Republic
honest,
to play Major League Baseball.
I'll pause it. What's that?
Is that actually even true, the idea that there are more Dominican? Because he's saying there's a high percentage of Dominican players that test positive, and now at the same time, he's also qualifying that with, well, there's also a large percentage of Dominicans who play baseball. Like, I wonder, if you look at the numbers and look at, okay, by is it something like, 40% of all Dominican players test positive, or only, 30% of all, U.S.-born players? Like, what's the data there? I mean, he doesn't actually come up with any numbers. But
no, it's just,
he's on Fox where you don't really necessarily need,
No, he's told hottest, your glowing, glowingest, hottest take, or don't bring nothing at
which
all.
Which is working wonders for Fox, by the way. I don't know if you, do you follow the, there's a few different, sports ratings and sports TV ratings, Twitter accounts or whatever. There is one that does a great job, and I'm blanking on who exactly it is, but anytime that Skip Bayless says something stupid about LeBron James, that Twitter account then will reply or do a quote tweet with like some show that beat Undisputed in the ratings that night. And it's usually like a rerun of some Nickelodeon show or something like that. It's just like some great, like, cause he's like, oh, LeBron is, overrated and da, 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 he'll never be as good as X or whatever. And then this account will then reply to him with like Undisputed got a point or 0.1 in the ratings beat by, Rugrats season 8 rerun on Splat or whatever. So it's just like, it's the greatest Twitter account ever, because it's just like you what you think you're doing and what you think is working is not working.
No it's not, but they're all video now, so they're all video.
Horwitz left, the guy that was like in charge of it, because he was the old Embrace the Debate ESPN guy,
right?
And then Fox hired him, and then they wiped everything clean and were like, yeah, Debate, Whitlock, Bayless, let's go. And then he was just like, I'm out. I'm going to sexually assault a woman. And
yeah, that's what
bye.
I was like. Yeah, he's, right? All right.
I'm going to go grope some women, and I'm out. Bye.
That's probably why. They needed to save a little money to pay. That's why they fired all their writers and told them, you're just going to ghostwrite stuff for that's Skip awful. And Jason Whitlock.
Can you imagine being like a writer and they're like, yeah, what you're going to do is Skip's going to say something stupid and you're going to write what he said stupid and you're going to make it a little bit longer than you're going to say it's by Skip Bayless. Like, can you even imagine being like, all right.
And by the way, here's $35,000 a year. Have fun.
Right, yeah, we're going
to. No, but you have to be in L.A. and show up to work every day. So.
Right. And no insurance either. But okay.
There. Yeah.
Let's get back to old Dougie.
All right. Here's Dougie Bucket. Sorry about Dougie. Sorry about that, Dougie. What was that?
It's legal, it's over the counter, and there's a different culture there than there is here. Beltre's from the Dominican Republic.
Like what?
Beltre's also been as or more productive into his mid and now late 30s as he was in his 20s.
There's the good thought wrapped in the muck of shitty thoughts.
Yes, but there's some, yeah. A little bit. We'll get to it here in a little bit.
All right,
that
here we go.
That's what we were told was a telltale sign. Hey, guys have a tendency to age, and then their production starts to wane and fall off a cliff. That hasn't happened with Adrian Beltre. He does, in fact, play for the Texas Rangers, which you could say, well, it's a home run hitter's park, as opposed to playing at Dodger Stadium where he played, or Seattle. Yeah. But the fact is, with the exception of 1 year with the Dodgers when he's 25, he hadn't hit 30 home runs. The 1 year
he played
was during the steroid era, and it was a contract year. Did he pull a D. Gordon?
It could be all these things, but it's not because
I'm
this
thing.
I'm
not saying I know unequivocally Adrian Beltre did it. I'm saying, hey, we've all been fooled before, and we have some markers, right? We have some markers that could paint the tale of a guy who could possibly be ahead of the curve and hasn't tested positive for it. And it, I'm a human being. I'm allowed to wonder because baseball's been a sport that has historically been ruined by PED guys.
Oh, God, here we go.
I can't personally consider Barry Bonds the all-time home run king, even though I saw him hit more home runs than anybody else because he did it mostly, all the home runs, a huge density with the help of performance-enhancing drugs. Baseball was all about history, was all about stats. Last night was a great celebration of history and stats and 3,000 hits and a beloved Dominican player, but I can't just sit there and go, okay, yeah. He's better in his 30s than he was in his 20s, and I don't suspect. I do. So whether it's former Texas Ranger Michael Young or current Texas.
All right, that's enough from Dougie Gottlieb. You see, there was a kernel. There was just he stumbled over something, and then look, like, what's that? Oh, never mind. All right, back to the Dominicans. What are we talking about here? These bad Dominicans that are always juicing. I mean, there is an eyebrow raise at Adrian Beltre having great seasons when he's 37 years old. But then you also have to consider he's in Texas, which, again, another point that Gottlieb stumbled over. It was, never mind. More to talk about, more Dominican stuff. And then he's playing a juice ball era. We have to consider, I mean, that's something that we have to consider now when talking about players and looking at performance spikes. Is what do you get when you take an aging power hitter and you juice the ball and then you start throwing him juiced baseballs? You're going to see a power spike from that power hitter. And isn't that what we're seeing with Adrian Beltre, despite being 37 years old? Then you also have to consider that guys are throwing a little bit harder than they were 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, especially when Beltre started his career. So he's right in that. When we're celebrating Beltre for 3,000 hits and now considering his Hall of Fame credentials, it is important to now go, well, did he is what is all this? What is this? What is responsible for this tail end uptick here? But I'm of the mind, even then, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care if he is juicing. Even if he is, and this is not an indication that he is, even if he is, I don't care. He's a Hall of Famer. Because you know what? Babe Ruth didn't have to play against black guys. And we don't know how good he would have been had he had to play against the actual talent pool of baseball players. Because there were a lot of baseball players that a lot of great players never had to play against. And if the argument is going to be, we will never know how good Barry Bonds actually was without the juice, without, if we assume Adrian Beltre, how good Adrian Beltre really was without the juice, then we also have to talk about the guys we never know or we can't know how good they would actually be without not having to play other people who might be as talented as them.
Yeah, or Willie Mays without amphetamines, which he
attributed
to most of what he would be. And Willie Mays was one of the first ones to say, yeah, sure, I do these. Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you? Like, there's one coffee pot that's this way. There's one coffee pot that's this way. I'm a little tired. I'll take the coffee pot with the green ring around it. Perfect.
Yep. So, what did you, when you first heard it, what did you come away thinking?
Yes. Yeah, so here's how I kind of attacked it is if Gottlieb wanted to have this thought, which he could have, and I mentioned it when you were playing that clip as well, is if he just said a high percentage of baseball players have tested positive for steroids and ended it right there, that's perfectly fine. And you and I in our, you know, past 643 Sports Lives or whatever, we had similar discussions about this. And this has always been my thought on this for people that don't know is, if you want to worry about a guy and say, ooh, I don't know, he might be on PEDs, oh, he might be on steroids, or if you want to be that guy, you can absolutely be that guy, and you're justified because, you know what, baseball let it happen for 10 years without stopping it. Mm-hmm. So now they have giving them any benefit of the doubt is gone, because they essentially let dudes do it for 10, 15 years, you know, undeterred, no issues whatsoever. Yeah, go ahead. We'll kind of stick our head in the sand or whatever. So if you want to say, hey, look, I think this guy did it. Okay. You know, I'll listen to it. You're fine. You're well in your rights to do that, because baseball never did anything to stop it. And there was a lot of guys who got post-career spikes or got spikes or better than they ever had any right to be, or hit more home runs or pitch faster or were healthier or whatever, because baseball let steroids happen for so long. Now there's obviously a little bit more in place now. It looks like they're testing a little bit stronger. There seems to be a little bit more education. It seems to be a lot better now. Mm-hmm. But still, for people that grew up in our era or grew up in the steroid era, you're more than in your right to say, hey, I don't think this guy is clean. I think he might have done something. And it's like, all right, yeah, well, whatever. Like, okay.
Major League Baseball created the market for that discussion.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And they did nothing to stop that market of that discussion. So, no, I will not get on anybody for saying, oh, I think this guy's on steroids. If you think so, okay. You know, there were a lot of guys that were on steroids, you know, for quite a few number of years or whatever, on PEDs, whatever it be. That's fine. You can absolutely say that. That Doug Gottlieb had to wrap it in the because he's Dominican part is like, what are you talking about? He doesn't need that. He didn't need that qualifier. His qualifier could have said, Adrian Beltre, the numbers look kind of weird. They kind of smell funny to me. I think he might be on something.
Right. And given the history of Major League Baseball players as a whole,
right,
with performance-enhancing drugs, that's enough for me to raise an eyebrow and say, I don't know that he did it, but come on, look at his numbers. It looks like it quacks like a duck, it looks like a duck, and it smells like a duck. He did not have to go down the what can only be described as racist route.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing, you dumbass? Oh, God.
Yeah, if anything, even if it's not inherently racist, it's inherently like stereotyping for no reason. I mean, there are, and a lot of it too is you know, he's sort of throwing all Dominicans into the same pool or whatever. Well, there's a lot of issues too with like it's education in a lot of ways with Dominican players testing positive. Cause you see a lot of A-ball guys and they're taking like weird ass shit. And you're like, what are you doing? How do you not? And a lot of them are like, you forget that these are kids plucked out of a village or whatever when they're 11 and you know, hey, play baseball. And that's all they know is baseball.
Right. And like, they're told
they
baseball is the way.
Yeah.
Baseball
right, so
is
yes,
your way.
There might be a higher percentage. I don't know the numbers, but it would not surprise me for a larger percentage of Dominican players to do that, because they don't get the education. They don't have an education system set up like American players do, where from the moment you play baseball in high school and all that sort of stuff, there is this idea of, oh, well, here, don't abuse it. This is like, hey, you're 11, you don't screw school, who cares? Don't go to school, come here and play baseball for us. Like, there's probably a lot of them that do test positive for stuff that they don't know. Starling Marte, I remember, tested positive for something really bizarre earlier in the year, and everyone's like, why would you take that? That's like the most obvious thing that you wouldn't take that obviously gets pinged by these tests or whatever, but, you know, there's an education level there for some of these guys. They know baseball quite well, but they weren't allowed to really know a whole lot more about life or whatever. And that, again, that's going into a bigger wormhole than we probably need to for right now for Gottlieb. But anyway, he's sort of then picking on the whole idea of Dominican player, like, oh, they and again, he doesn't have numbers to really back that up, or I you know, if he does, he didn't, you know, mention them at all or whatever. But the one part I want to talk about with Adrian Beltre, aside from just, you know, you look at his age curve and you go, yeah, okay, this guy did get better into his 30s or whatever and has remained good into, you know, his age 38 season, which is rare, but there's some issue there with just immediately saying, okay, well, because he was good into his 30s, ergo he must have taken steroids. That there isn't any other possible scenario of doing that. And again, baseball created that monster because there were a lot of guys who burst through, you know, their mm-hmm. peaks or whatever, and were able to do it. But the thing that I always have with Adrian Beltre, and aside from that 2004 season, which really stands out as an outlier with the, you know, the 48 home runs or whatever in LA, other than that, his it's not like he really, because a lot of what the steroid guys were like, they had a peak, then they were kind of going down, and then they had a second peak. Or in Barry Bonds, he has a second and third peak. Which,
right.
You know, that's rare. Like, Roger Clemens had his awesome peak. He was one of the best players in baseball, one of the best pitchers. Then he started to struggle a little bit, and then boom, and then he had another peak. And that's what's hard to do. That second peak is not what normally happens. Aside from that 48 home run season, the peak of Adrian Beltre is basically just one that rose through his late 20s and has kind of stayed consistent through his 30s or whatever, which,
that's true.
You know,
yeah.
Is that a steroid peak? I don't know. Is it saying that because he remained healthy, he had to have taken steroids? I don't know, but you really look at his numbers and you look at a lot of his stuff, it can, I think, in a lot of ways be chalked up to where he played, you know, playing in LA and playing in Seattle. Seattle especially. The years in Seattle were not good for Adrian Beltre. He was terrible. They were his, what should have been his peak years. the stadium wasn't good. The team wasn't good. I'm sure he felt there's a lot of factors that go into it. Not simply just that he went to Texas and they have steroids in Texas in the past, so he took steroids.
Right.
Which, you know, yeah, I don't know. Like, because he had a season in Boston smashed in there too, which Doug forgot to mention.
Yeah, 141. Yeah, 141 OPS plus.
And he was great that year. And that really was the beginning of Adrian Beltre then becoming a very good player. Boston's a much better hitter's market. He goes to the AL. Maybe there's something about the AL there that he really catches. I mean, he was in Seattle with the AL, but maybe, you know, in the AL East, they, you know, a big division. Then goes to the AL West and plays in a lot more, you know, yeah, he was in Seattle in the AL West too, but, you know, he plays most of his home games in Texas or whatever, which yeah. certainly helps versus Seattle, which is one of the worst hitter's park in baseball. But then you really look at his numbers, you look at the big power numbers, they don't really fluctuate all that much. Like, we talk about how shitty he was in Seattle, but he's got 25 home runs, 26 home runs, and 25. And then, you know, in Texas, he's got 32, 36, 30, 19, 18, 32. Like, I don't see the wild fluctuation. Like, this isn't a guy, like, Jose Bautista is a very interesting case. That's a guy who, and I don't know what the Jose Bautista thing is, but here's a guy who was getting 8, 10, 7, 12, you know, home runs or whatever, and then he's got 40, 50 every single year.
And his voice changed, or was his voice always like that?
Nah, I don't know. But, you know, for a guy who consistently was hitting, and you look at Adrian Beltre from the moment he was 20 years old in L.A., you know, 15 home runs, 20 home runs, 13, 21, 23, 48. There's that big 48 one again that sticks out. 19, 25, 26, 25, 8. He was hurt that year. 28, 32, 36, 30, 19, 18, and then 32 last year. Well, 32 last year, everybody fucking hit 30 home runs last year.
Right. Yeah, that's the juice ball. The juice ball held.
Everybody hit 30 home runs last year. Look at the leaderboards last year. There are a lot of guys that you're like, holy shit, that guy hit 30 home runs last year? Because everybody hit 30 home runs last year. So, yeah, if you wanted to qualify it by saying lots of baseball players that were good into their 30s took steroids, thus Adrian Beltre probably took steroids, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. But you add on all these different qualifiers and then you try to throw in this, well, he played for Texas and they have, like, he had it. If he just wanted to say, hey, look, it kind of smells weird to me, that's all I'm saying. I'm done.
Right.
That's fine.
Go to break.
But then say, well, he's Dominican. So,
yeah.
You know, like,
and that's the thing, you know.
There, like, I don't know that it necessarily is either.
Again,
like,
that's another thing that I'm not sure. He says it's illegal. It's over the counter. I'm not aware of any country where you can just go buy steroids.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate. I mean,
although to be true, in America, you could go buy things that were technically steroids up until 2002, 2003, something like that. Like, they sold them at GNC. They sold anabolic steroids, you know, but nobody really treated it as such. But the other thing is that, you know, how do you differentiate between just a good player? Because, you know, Miguel Cabrera, obviously we're dropping the facade of being a Dominican player now, but Miguel Cabrera is just a fantastic striker of the baseball, and he is going to have 130 OPS pluses probably hopefully well into his age 38, 39, however the hell long Detroit is paying him. I remember we looked at it once. It's a long ass time.
Do it. Yeah, it's a long time.
He's going to continue to do that, and you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to go, well, you know, Miguel Cabrera is like 38 now, and he's still OPS plusing 145. It's like, well, yeah, because he's really good.
That's the thing that Doug needs to remember as well, is that some players are really good, and those really good players play into their 30s and are good.
Yeah.
Not every single player in the history of baseball instantly got bad when they were 31.
Yeah, and some guys peak when they're 29, 28, 29, 30. Sometimes that just happens. And then you hit your peak and you ride it out for as long as you can. And maybe some things help out, like juiced baseballs, like pitchers throwing harder and you're good enough to barrel up 97. Like, if you've always been good.
Yeah, ballpark you go to.
Right, exactly. Yes. You play 81 games a year now in this bandbox, so have fun.
Expectations, too. Again, he's a human being. I mean, he goes to Seattle on a huge deal. The team disappoints. He kind of disappoints. Like, I'm sure that's a guy who really wears his emotions on his sleeve or whatever. He goes to Texas, and that's a team that's pretty good. A lot of other guys there. You got Josh Hamilton. You got a bunch of other good stuff. It is possible that he now just feels more comfortable and has been in the spot for a while and feels comfortable as a Texas Ranger or whatever, and has carried that over to being good and focusing more on his game. Like, that's a realistic possibility as well that, you know, apparently is not, because he's Dominican. So,
and he's not hitting home runs. I don't believe. I have to look at the numbers more in depth.
It's not a crazy rate at all. It's not like 73. It's not like a Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire type deal or whatever.
Yeah, what he's doing is he's hitting a lot of doubles.
Yes.
And I don't know.
He's a good hitter.
Right.
Good hitters are good. It's like sometimes good hitters are just good.
And you know, if you look at his doubles totals from early in his career, and then you also look at his doubles totals now, they look pretty similar.
There's really the,
it's almost like he's just a really good hitter who's now playing in a smaller ballpark that's like, more conducive to home runs.
It's always that second peak to look at. And I know the Baseball Prospectus, they had their second, I think it was called Extra Innings. I'm actually looking over. I have it, and I was making sure. It's called Extra Innings, and they had a very good study. I believe Joe Sheehan did it about the steroid era and a little bit about it and factors that played into it and stuff in ballparks and da-da-da, yada-yada. But a lot of what he goes into is talking about the second peak, and that's really what the big thing is. If you look at a lot of the guys that were steroid guys or whatever, it was that little where you could see the drop-off and then they went up again. Adrian Beltre never did. I mean, you could say, well, he's just always been taking steroids his entire life and his entire career. Somehow he's evaded, you know, the testing every single year as well. And somehow, you know, despite being a dumb Dominican that doesn't, you know, play by the rules or whatever, he somehow has found a way to, you know, evade testing all these years or whatever. But regardless, like, there's not really that second peak with him. Like, there was the one really weird year in LA, which I contend is a very odd year, that 2004. But otherwise, you strike that one from the record, it's a pretty consistent career throughout.
Yep, and odd years happen in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Good odd years and bad odd years. You have the bad odd years where you just, Jesus, I suck. Then you have the good odd years where you go, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. But, you know, I don't think the evidence is there. He was totally right in saying, hey, we should look more closely at this. And if he just would have ended it there,
sure, absolutely,
a perfectly reasonable take. But the hot take machine, Mount Take, as coined by Deadspin, dictated, they rumbled. It was rumbling, and he had to go, I got to throw something extra onto this. And it then turned into because he's Dominican / playing for the Rangers. All right, Rich, you got somewhere to be. I know that. So we got one more topic. You get to pick. I'll give you three. We could talk about Ray Lewis talking to Colin Kaepernick, which I think is pretty good. The Dodgers acquiring Yu Darvish, and could they be one of the best baseball teams of all time, or NBA 2K18 forcing a narrative in my GM?
Okay, I think we can maybe. I'm thinking objectively here. We could probably the Dodgers. We can wait for another time,
right?
Because I think they're going to still be good like the next time we record. So let's hold that one.
Okay.
I think we can get the NBA 2K and Ray Lewis in there. I really do.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. I think we owe it to the people to do both.
All right, we will.
I don't really have a ton to talk about the Ray Lewis thing.
Yeah,
because there's a really good comeback to anything that Ray Lewis ever says. But go on. So
Ray Lewis had some interesting words for Colin Kaepernick. Of course, this is around the time of the year now where everybody's weighing in on Colin Kaepernick. He says, "Quote: What you do off the field, don't let too many people know." End quote. Which is, I mean, he's right. He's right. You know, he's probably a guy who would know, like, hey, man, if you murder a guy in a limo and don't let anybody know that you did it. You got to get rid of that suit, get rid of all of it. And then, like, the worst you're going to face is obstruction of justice charges for destroying evidence in a murder investigation. And that's it. But you're not going to jail. No murder beef. That's all you got to do. It's hilarious that Ray Lewis would be telling. Does he not have any kind of self-awareness? Is he not aware that he got away with murder and that everybody knows he got away with murder? Maybe that's the key. Maybe he doesn't know that everybody knows that he killed that guy. Because I think Marvin Harrison doesn't talk a lot about guns, right? Marvin Harrison kind of keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't say a lot, but like, you know, man, that 5.7, man, that's a really nice pistol. You know?
That could blow through someone's chest in 2 seconds.
Like when you're in a dispute with them in the front of a laundromat that you're co-owner of or whatever, or a car wash, I think it was. He doesn't talk a lot about that, but Ray Lewis is pretty open and honest about trying to give advice to NFL players about committing or not committing crimes.
Yeah, somebody I know, a Deadspin commenter, had a really good because obviously one of Kaepernick's big things is that he hands out suits to like homeless people to get them jobs or, you know, before they go to a job interview. And someone said, evidently Lewis and Kaepernick don't see eye to eye about the existence of suits. So that's pretty good. But no, here's the weird, odd thing about this is that Ray Lewis is right, but that he's right is the issue.
Right.
Is that like the idea that having any thoughts outside of NFL football, National Football League quarterback. I have to say, every time I say NFL, I have to qualify it by saying NFL and National Football League. Unless you're that guy, nobody wants anything to do with you. And you're a distraction and you're awful and get out of here and go away. So he's unfortunately right, is that you shouldn't tell anybody in an NFL locker room anything that you like other than football.
Yep, just football, man. That's all I do.
It's all about football. And again, it's one of the reasons I really can't stand football, is because there's this idea that, like, it's just you have to be a one-track mind. It has to be football or whatever. There's, like, the funny story that if you're an assistant coach, you have to lie about how good you are at golf, because if you're good at golf, you obviously aren't worrying about football enough.
Oh, right, yeah.
Too much, yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just insane. Like, if you can't have any other hobbies. Now, don't have any other hobbies, you got to be better at football. If you're not better at football, you got to be... So he's unfortunately right, is that you shouldn't let people know about these things. But again, the daddy's right is the issue and the really horrible, horrible thing about this. But hey, as long as a bunch of NFL teams are happy with their shitty, horrible second-string quarterbacks, knock yourself out. So.
Yeah, I...
Then one's going to get hurt in week two, and they're going to go, oh, God, and here's this awful guy, and we're going to lose, and he's like, whatever, okay. And the other thing is, too, like, and this is with the whole Kaepernick thing, and again, like, I don't want to get into it all that much. I mean, the idea that he is a distraction or whatever is true, but it's not, again, I don't agree that it is. But it is true, because head coaches are, oh, you're not football enough. Oh, like, that's the issue. It's like, you know, and this is the weird thing that we live in, is that all these people are right when they're telling him, hey, shut up, don't do this, cut your hair, do this, don't do that. Like, they're all right. If you want to get a job in the NFL, this is what you need to do.
Yep.
But the bigger issue is that Kaepernick should just say, you know what, fuck this. I don't want to conform to this. I'm not going to.
Yeah. And the other problem, I think, is that, you know, the NFL owners are put in an odd position, because they're forced to kind of take the brunt of this and looking as though they are colluding, which they all are. They're all colluding to not give him a job.
Yeah.
But they're colluding not because they don't like what Colin Kaepernick has to say. I doubt they even care. I think they care that what they're worried about is that their fans are really dumb.
Yeah.
And that if you bring Colin Kaepernick onto your team and he starts kneeling for the national anthem, then there is a not insignificant amount percentage of your fandom that will not buy tickets, that will not show up to games, that will not buy new jerseys or programs or watch TV or whatever. And you might actually feel that in the wallet because he protests something that's laudable and noble and absolutely right. And so they're forced in an awkward position, and far be it from me to feel bad for billionaires, but this is this awkward thing where it's like, yeah, I don't want to sign Colin Kaepernick, not because his stance is wrong, but because his stance stands awkwardly with stupid people who pay me a lot of money for this product that I put out there.
Right. And dumb coaches, too.
The John Foxes of the world and the, you know.
Well, these ones that now are going to, you know, and it's going to happen this season again. Like, guys that, there isn't a coach out there that's just like, I don't care, the guy's good, get him on my team or whatever, is, well, you know, I don't know. And then they'd rather sign
how the locker room feels.
Yeah, and they'd rather sign some shitty backup, and it's like the locker room is going to feel like shit when your horrible backup is falling all over himself. Like, again, where he, you know, Colin Kaepernick was, I think his teammates, didn't they elect him like the teammate of the year and some shit? Like, they're like, he was fine. Nobody cares.
His teammates seem to be okay with him.
Right. Nobody cares.
I haven't heard anything about how
they don't care. They just want to win. But like, these coaches have this idea that it's like some great, you know, oh, we're teaching life lessons. We're doing that. This is all the shit around football.
Let me close this out by this. I think this gets lost in the fray, but didn't Colin Kaepernick opt out of his contract?
I don't recall if he did or not.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he opted out of his deal.
Again, it's NFL contracts. Who the hell knows?
Right. Absolutely. But yeah. You've got a guy who is whatever he was guaranteed to make. If all he had to do was opt in and he opted out, and now it's all of a sudden a problem that people aren't signing him. I'm just saying, he had a paycheck ready to go, a big paycheck, and he decided not to do it because the 49ers are absolutely awful, and I wouldn't want to be on that team either. But still.
You are correct. Yeah, March 3rd, 2017, he officially opted out of his contract with the 49ers as an option as part of his restructured contract.
Okay. As is his right under the contract, absolutely. And he should probably be signed because guys like TJ Yates are getting contracts, and Josh McCown is
Ray
still
Lewis,
in the league.
Maybe you shut your mouth until you...
just stop talking about... Don't put him on TV to talk about those things. Because everybody's going to bring up the murder.
The NFL never cared the same year that he did that. They were like, oh, the same year he obstructed justice. You know, in the lightest of terms, obstructed justice in a murder case. He was the Super Bowl MVP, and they were just like, yay, Ray Lewis. Yeah, he's good at tackling people. Which, that's not a distraction, killing people.
No, absolutely not.
Not a distraction in the locker room, because he was good at football. So you let the distraction go away, but...
Right, but if he would have started talking about, like, during pregame about murdering people, then I think maybe people would have had a problem with it. If he would have started, like, I don't know, stabbing somebody during the national anthem just to show.
All right. With the NFL, who knows, man?
Yeah.
Wilder things could happen.
All right, real quick, a forced narrative mode in NBA 2K18. Rich, are you on board?
I'm not. Here's a little bit of the story. This is from Polygon... did the research here. We should definitely talk about this. The former GM mode, my GM for people to play NBA 2K, I think it debuted 2 years ago in the 2K games. The former my GM is now known as my GM the next chapter. While my league, the more bare bones franchise mode, will continue to offer the traditional franchise experience, so that is unchanged.
Is my league becoming my GM?
No, my league is going to stay my league. So if you go to my league, there isn't the... All my league has is like... The players don't care. Like, you can do whatever you want. The players don't give a shit about anything. The coaches don't care about anybody. There's no interactions with the scouts or whatever.
Okay.
It is just, it's an old school franchise mode. It's every franchise mode you played for the first 10 years of franchise modes or whatever.
Okay.
It's like, you can trade, you can do all that stuff, you can sign guys or whatever. There's just no character dynamics with you or your players or coaches or anything like that. Like,
all right.
There's no dynamics. You're not a person. You're just in charge of a franchise or whatever. So that's remaining the way it is, but... My GM, the next chapter, casts you as a former NBA star who has returned to the league 6 years after his career-ending injury to become a general manager. So kind of like Chauncey Billups. So maybe Dan Gilbert will lowball you, and then the game just ends, and you're like, all right.
We got to win. Hey, we got to win the NBA championship this year because LeBron's leaving. So do you want like $150,000? Is that good?
He's like, don't comparable GMs make like $2 million? So like, well, take it or leave it, buddy. All right. Like, do you want it or not? Like, no, not really.
No, because I make more than that on TV right now. So
right. Why would I take this deal? It's a horrible deal. The mode includes all kinds of cutscenes in which you will interact with the team's owner, staff, and players, as well as media and other GMs. And you bet your ass there is one voice that you can choose from, and that will make it like the My Player. There's one voice to choose from. And that regardless of how you make your player, which again, I don't care if you want to make it, but then just make me, have me, if this is, here's what I've always said about the My Player. Is if I'm going to have a black dude's voice, which is fine, I don't care, then don't let me be like a white, because then I always get excited, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make some like tall German white guy or whatever. This is going to be hilarious. He's going to shoot threes. And then like his name is Freak, and he's from Brooklyn. And like they let you choose where you're from, and then you're just from Brooklyn.
He's
anyway.
From Germany. He's the oddest adoption agency ever.
Right.
Like a 7 foot tall white kid from Germany adopted to the Brooklyn
and, like, again, that's fine, but then just don't let me then say, this is your character. You must play as
here is
guy.
Your character. Choose an archetype, and that's it. You get to customize your armbands and shit.
That's always my thing, and that's fine. Like, if you want to just say, hey, you can just be this guy, or hey, you can only be a black dude or whatever, so here, you kind of customize how you want him to look, that's fine. But then don't, it just looks silly when it's like a random white dude and he talks like a black guy. You know, like,
right.
My OCD can't handle that.
Right, it's not that you don't want to be a black guy.
No, I just, like, I'm very OCD about that, and then I'm just like, ah, damn it, I gotta just change this whole thing. Like,
I want to be able to choose to be a blogger that... Like, I get hired as part of the advanced analytics department of this NBA
gotta work
franchise.
Your way up, yeah,
right. Yeah, and I got to work my way up. I got to write reports and graphs and charts and stuff about shot percentage and hot zones on the court
get on that synergy and start doing some work. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then I got to work my way up. Where's that? Tell me that story. Not former player.
I don't know if that one sells as much as this one, but I agree. I would buy your game, John. So
yeah, what about Dartmouth economist?
Right.
I've got a postgraduate degree in...
Yeah, working his way up as a video coordinator, so you have to just sit in a dark room and watch tape, and then like cut the tape and then give it to somebody who then gives it to the player because you don't have any ability to talk to the players yet because you're kind of just... Like,
you're just a weird kid.
You're like,
Then they give
you. You're like, no, here's where you should shoot from. They're like, yeah, shut the hell up. You're like, all right.
Then they send you to scouting school, and you've got to decipher which kids are good, and you got to hope they turn out to be.
It takes 10 years to finally be able to do
ten simming years just the mundane meetings and stuff. And that's what I don't like, because I'm fine with cutscenes and stuff, but when you have to load in from a menu to a cutscene and then load out of the cutscene to another menu just to get to another loading screen for another cutscene, I get pissed off. And that's what that's what NBA 2K has turned into, is menu loading cutscene cut or menu loading cutscene loading menu loading cutscene loading menu loading, 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 loading.
And we're really just most upset because we spend most of our time in MyGM.
I just want to see him.
We play more MyGM than we do like the actual games themselves.
I spend more time trying to put together trades than I actually do on the court, like trying to shoot the basketball.
Well, let's hope that My League is updated a little bit, or that this MyGM thing isn't as horrible as we maybe think it is, because they have some other additions as well that are kind of cool. They have the new collective bargaining agreement, so there are the Supermax contracts, so you can give old John Wall.
No, I can't lowball people anymore.
It. You got it. Like, if he's good and he's, you got to pay him the max, or else he's going to go bye bye. So,
damn it.
You also get the 14 player roster minimum as well, which they've upgraded. The G League, the former D League, is now back in the game. You can't play the games, but you can call guys up and bring them to the D League and start the G League. It's going to take for me forever to say G League.
Yeah.
Gatorade sponsor. This is pretty cool, too. The 3-day moratorium period between free agency. So you won't be able to sign contracts, but you can mutually agree or verbally agree to contracts.
Ooh.
And then maybe lock guys in houses and then make them not verbally agree to contracts. Which would be a great mode as well. It's like, X player has agreed to a deal. Do you drive to his house with all your teammates and lock him in a room and make him feel bad until he reverses his decision? It's like, well, yeah. I'll spend some VC to do that. Drive over to DeAndre Jordan's house and not let him leave until he changes his mind. So.
Right. Yeah, who's that?
He was.
He wouldn't return somebody's calls, and who was it that wouldn't return Mark Cuban's calls?
So Mark Cuban, he agreed to a deal with the Mavs, and then Chris Paul and Griffin and a bunch of those guys drove over to his house, and then like stayed with him for like 12 hours or whatever. Mark Cuban's like, I kept trying to call him. I was like outside of his house. I was like nearby, and he wouldn't answer my call. And like, I was like, all right, fine, I guess. Like what? That was,
talk
like,
about
so
collusion!
Bizarre.
My God,
yeah, Christ! And that was all before the So don't. I'll trust a verbal agreement all the time, people.
I'd be great. I hope they do that, because I'd like to see some.
Yeah, go in there and swoop. It's like, hey, you got word that this guy signed a verbal agreement. You're like, oh hell no, he didn't. Like, which would be cool. But so yeah, let's hope that it's not too awful and too in your face or whatever. That you can a little bit more customized. But like the best way to do this, honestly, would be for my OCD, and I don't know about yours, is just not have him talk. Like the old GTA 3 thing, where everybody talks to you. And
right.
You don't say anything. You select what you want to say back.
Right.
But and Skyrim does this, and Fallout does this, or whatever. You're interacting and talking or whatever, but your guy doesn't really have that much dialogue.
Right. You don't speak. It's not first person. You just select the text, and it's the on-screen characters respond to
that. Doc Rivers or whoever's talking to you be the guy that talks or whatever, and you kind of stay more in the background or reserved or whatever. Just have it be all text, because then my OCD is going to be weird, because he's going to have some really weird voice and I'm just going to be which again, I don't care that I have to be a black dude. I don't care if I have to be a white guy in the GM mode or whatever, which that would be hilarious too, if like you have to be a white guy in the GM mode and you have to be a black guy in the my player, like, which is absolutely going to happen, right?
What's that?
Like that you were going to have to be a white guy in the my GM.
No, because you're a former player. You're a former player. I think it's just going to be the same thing. They're just going to take your my player and make him the
X-star.
So you're going to have, because your my player always looks young. So you're going to have a 19-year-old guy looking like, yeah, I washed out of the league 6 years ago after I busted up my knee in Charlotte.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Sweet, awesome, like beard and like perfectly coiffed hair and.
And then as you add add tattoos as you get VC, because that's what I always do, is I add ton of tattoos, sleeve that up, always got to do it. All right, so I look forward, I don't know, I'll look at more of it as it comes out. Obviously, it's not like I'm not going to get 2K18.
No, it's still like a freaking day, hour one purchase for me.
Yeah, but I mean, this could be, I don't like this. I don't like when they started with the My Player and the forced narrative down that road. I don't like what that's turned that mode into. And I'm really cautious. I'm really wary that they're going to do the same with my GM. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the KMP Show. Rich has got some great stuff going on at Voices Wrestling on Twitter, Voices of Wrestling, all the great content, and the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. You can follow the show on Twitter at KANDP Show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes at itunes.kandpshow.com. Rich, is that correct? itunes.kandpshow.com?
That is correct. That is
Go subscribe
doing.
To iTunes, and we might read your review of this show on the air. Well, not on the air, but on the show. Go to itunes.kandpshow.com. Be sure to review the show, and you might get read on the KMP
we'll
show.
Say nice things about you. Or bad things
maybe.
About you. Whatever
maybe.
You want. We'll if you say nice things about us, or say nice things.
If you say nice things about us, we are more inclined to say nice things about you back. That's the way it works. You can follow me on Twitter at John's Voices. For Rich Krach, I'm John Playtech. Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time. We're out. Bye.